and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about what is a good gross yield. Now, this is something that property investors ask all of the time, and I often see it on like Facebook and Instagram. People ask the question, I'm thinking about investing in a property. What sort of yield should I aim for? And then you might get a whole heap of answers. Now, often, Andrew, those answers include my most hated two words.
It depends.
Oh, and they say, oh, it depends on location. It depends on the type of property you're buying. It depends on this. It depends on that. I hate the words, it depends, because often the data is out there. We just have to go and look for it. So in today's show, we're actually going to show you the real gross yields that investors are willing to accept. But kick it off for us, Andrew. What is a yield for anybody who's new to the show?
So that's the rental return that you're going to get on the property based on the value of the property. So think of it like a share, right? If you own a $100 share and you get a $5 payment, you've got a 5% return on that share. Now, with a property, you take the amount of rent that you get per year and you divide that by the value of the property. That's your gross yield.
Yeah, and the reason this is really important to property investors is it's just a really quick check of, does this property have okay cash flow or not? Now, yield and cash flow are two different things, but it's just that first sense check. And I think the big issue that people don't know is, well, what is actually worth looking into? What's a good yardstick? What would be acceptable to a property investor? So let's talk about what sort of percentage return an investor could get. Now, if we're talking about a growth property, so that's a property that's more likely to increase in value faster, we're probably talking about a townhouse or a house, and across most of the country, somewhere between 4.4 to 4.9% is what you'd expect to get today if you're buying a property and just holding it for the long term. Now, let's say it was a yield property. And now a yield property generally will get a higher rental return, but won't go up in value just quite as fast. Those are things like dual income apartments, dual income properties in general. So that's where you've got one property, but you can rent two parts of it out separately. Generally, those sorts of properties, you're targeting about 6% around the country. And oh, I probably stole your thing.
You did. I was going to talk about that, but that's okay.
Do you want to just add anything else you're thinking about in terms of growth versus yield?
I think
no. Okay. No, go on, tell us.
I think in terms of a yield property, usually you've got to think about these as something that you're going to probably sell to another investor. So this isn't going to be the type of property that someone's going to fall in love with to raise their kids in. That's going to be a growth property.
Yeah, and so I actually know there was one we were just working with in our property management team, I think in Wainui Omata in Wellington, and it was two studio apartments stacked on top of each other. So it looked like a two-bedroom townhouse. On the bottom floor was a one-bedroom studio apartment. I think on the top floor, it was either a one-bedroom apartment.
They're both one-bedrooms, yeah.
Yeah, both one-bedroom apartments. So if you look at it, yeah, it's a two-bedroom, two-bathroom property, but a couple's not going to go rent that with their
kids.
Might
be quite nice.
Well, you don't want little Sally or Jamie to have their own kitchen and their own apartment upstairs. Yeah. You know, families tend to like to live together. Maybe not you
or
in your situation.
So yeah, these are the type of product that are much more suited to investors. Because investors are more likely to be driven by money, they tend to go up at a slower growth rate.
Yeah, and I remember what my point was now. So that Wainui Omata property, I think it was worth 880 grand. It was renting out for about $1,000 a week. So that's how you get that 6-ish percent yield. I think it was 5.9%. So pretty close. Now, Andrew, some investors say you need to be aiming for a 10% gross yield.
Yeah, actually, we spoke to Steve Goody in preparation for the show, and he said, unless it's a 10% or above return gross yield, I'm not even getting out of bed for it, basically. Now, I do want to know how he calculates that, whether or not he calculates it on what his spend is, i.e. purchase price and renovations, or whether or not it's actually on the value. But you'll talk about that later.
We'll come in a second. So the main question I have is, well, is 10% as a gross yield realistic? And there's only one way we can find that out. So I went to Trade Me. And I scraped 8,000 properties.
When are we going to get a letter from Trade Me telling you to stop doing this?
Oh, I don't know. But I did it. This was on the 3rd of May, so really, really recent. And there were a total, I'll tell you exactly how many properties there were, Andrew. There was a total of 9,740 properties.
Okay, so you've got a reasonable sample size.
So every property available for rent on Trade Me. And then what we do is we go and we scrape one roof to find out what the value is. And this gives us a really, really good sense of what are investors willing to accept in terms of rent, not necessarily what they rent for, but what they're willing to accept. And then it gives us a sense of, well, what's the value of the property? And that can tell us what yields are investors going for. Not necessarily what they get, but what are they willing to accept?
I think this is really interesting because you do see, particularly in those property investor chat groups, those type of things, or going along to one of the events, is you're going to hear people say, oh, I always want this amount, but this is what actual investors are willing to accept. This is in real time, so I find this data way more beneficial than an anecdotal number.
So if we look at all of the properties on Trade Me in early May, the median gross yield someone was willing to accept is 4.2%, 4.16%, which is pretty standard. You know, before we were talking about kind of 4.4 to 4.9, so maybe we're targeting slightly higher, but the median investor is willing to accept 4.2%. Now, if you currently have a property that is renting for less than a 3.4% gross yield, you're in the bottom 25% of property investors. On the other hand, if you're renting a property for above a 4.9% gross yield, you are in the top 25% of property investors. And so that probably gives you a little sense of where you are. And I expect that most people will, well, I know where most people are going to be. They're going to be somewhere between 3.4% and 4.9% because that's what the data says.
Now, obviously, one of the big things that changes is where you're based, right? So tell us about how the location will affect the yield.
It's really quite amazing. So if we look at Auckland, the median gross yield there is 3.7%. So quite a lot lower than the national average. And that's because Auckland properties are more expensive. And yes, they rent for more money, but not for so much money that it makes up for the fact that Auckland properties are really expensive.
That's actually come up quite a bit over the last couple of years, though.
I
think it was 2.5-ish about 2 years ago.
What, when I first ran this analysis?
No, not this analysis, so maybe. All right, then.
You're comparing wrong numbers, Andrew. You're doing...
Okay, tell us about another area then.
Is that you, Andrew, on the Property Investors chat group on Facebook?
tell us about Taranaki.
Okay, my home region.
That's why I just got you off topic.
Yeah, I know, you've distracted me. So the average gross yield there is about 5%. And for Southland, Southland is the highest yielding region at 5.6% median yield. And so what that kind of shows you, I think this is a really good way to think of it. If you were in the top 25% of property investors in Auckland, you would be sitting around the bottom 25% of investors in Southland. So when people use that phrase, it depends, it kind of does depend on location, because a good gross yield in Auckland, say 4.3%, would be a really bad below average gross yield if you were in Southland. Same like the median yield in New Zealand, I said before, is 4.16%. That would put you in the bottom 25% of investors in Taranaki. And so it's really important to just understand that the yield that you get or accept in Taranaki or Southland will be higher than what you would get in a place like parts of Northland or Canterbury or the Bay of Plenty or Auckland as well. So I guess one question for you then, Andrew, is how likely is it that somebody would be able to get a genuine 10% gross yield?
I think that it is very unlikely based on the data. Do you have any in that data that is a 10% yield?
Yes. So if I look at the maximum gross yield in my data set, it's like 62.4%.
Okay, so that might not be quite right. Or it might be a leasehold property or something like that.
Yeah, I expect that would be like a statistical error where the one roof data is incorrect. And look, when you're talking about like 9,000 properties, you're going to have some incorrect data in there. The key thing is we're looking at the median to try and ignore any of that stuff at the end.
You've got one 10% in Otago, by the looks of it.
That is in Canterbury. We'll see
There's
if this
one
makes
in Otago
it
as well.
No. You're looking at Southland.
No, I am not. Nice try.
Let me see. I can't find it.
You can filter it. I'll show you how to use Excel.
No, I know how to use Excel. Oh, look, here's one here. So here's one in Tokoroa in South Waikato. Let's see what we're talking.
$550 a week rent for a $265 purchase price.
Yeah, $550 rent for a $265 purchase price.
Thanks.
Let's just go look at it on OneRoof to see, you know, is that legitimate? Oh, it looks like it is. OneRoof estimate says that they've got quite a bit of confidence in there. and 550. So that might be a genuine 10% gross yield, perhaps.
Now, one of the reasons why we don't use gross yield as the full measure when it comes to working out whether or not a property is a good investment or a bad investment is the rates and the insurance as a percentage of your week's worth of rent would be really, really expensive for a property like this, because it's such a low value in terms of purchase price that the net yield, which is more tied to your cash flow, would be really, really poor.
We're going to do something a little bit different today in the show. We're going to do something live. We're going to see the percentage of properties that have a 10% gross yield.
Do you want to take
higher.
A guess?
I'm going to say, as a percentage, I'm going to write mine down too. Is yours a range or is it a specific number?
No, it's a specific number. Is yours not? No, put down a number.
Yeah, okay.
No,
okay.
Stop playing with the things because you're going to cheat.
I've written it.
I'm not telling you.
I didn't look
you
at yours.
You did so.
Oh, no. Okay, we've both put 2%. Would have been really good to prepare this in advance. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, it's you wrote 2%.
Yeah.
I also wrote 2%. The answer is 0.6% of properties in this analysis are at 10% gross yield or above. And on top of that, I would guarantee that that's probably on the high side, because there'll be a number of statistical errors in here that would make it look like there are some properties that have higher gross yields than they do. So the likelihood of finding a property that's got a gross yield of 10% or above is like less than 1%. It's about 1 in 180. And that leads to a really good question, which is how do some people get those 10% gross yields that we sometimes hear about? And the truth is, what usually happens is they're calculating it a different way. So rather than looking at the value of the property, they might buy a property for, you know, 600K. They spend 100K renovating it, so they're 700K deep. It earns $1,000 a week, let's say, and it's a 7.5% gross yield if you use that calculation. They put in 700K, they're getting a rental return out. And they say, well, that's great. I got this awesome gross yield based on my spend. The trouble is that's the wrong way to calculate gross yield, because when we are thinking about the yield, it's not the yield on your spend, it's the yield on the value of your asset. As an investor, you've got to think, well, is my asset performing, right? And so once you say, well, let's say they renovated it, same numbers again, but now the property's worth $1 million. Because they really renovated it, they did a great job. So they took that property that was worth 600K, it's now worth $1 million, still earns $1,000 a week in rent. Now the gross yield is 5.2%. Okay, so it's still good, depending on where it is, but it's not quite as good. And the reason that you do it that way is because if that property was in Southland, a 5.2% gross yield would be below average. And so the right decision in that instance would be possibly to sell the property and buy something else that had a higher gross yield, because that would be possible. And so we always need to be calculating gross yields on our current asset value, because that then allows us to make the decision, well, should I sell that property and buy something else? So what we don't want to do is use renovations as a way to fool ourselves into thinking that we're getting a better gross yield than we actually are. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking the renovation strategy. I think it's wonderful and there are a lot of people who make a lot of money out of it, and absolutely good for them. But if we're thinking about investment, we can't be fudging the numbers to get a better result than is actually the case. So the main takeaway is when you're calculating your gross yields, always use current asset value. Don't use what you bought it for or what you spent on the property, because that's irrelevant. You've always got to be thinking about, what is my asset worth? What is the yield? It's like saying, well, I bought an Apple share back in 1970, and now I get massive dividends of it, so the yield's really good. Well, maybe the yield's not so good, because you've got to think about, what is the current share worth, and could I get a better return by selling that and purchasing something else?
And look, I think for investors listening to this and thinking about, how do I apply this to my strategy? This is really good numbers, because it shows you exactly what people are actually willing to accept at the moment based on the true value of their property. And that's so much more useful than the anecdotal comment that you get on a Facebook chat group or at a property investors meetup or something like that. I think we can get unrealistic numbers in our heads, and then we might discount really good investments because we've got an 8% yield in our head that we're chasing.
Right, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you're listening to this on your podcast app, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or Podbean, you want to see some of the numbers we're talking about, just Google Opus Partners YouTube. It'll be the first thing that comes up. And if you are watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. We release new videos on here every Monday and Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most from the selling property market. Until next time.